All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we here are going to wind up chapter 23. Whereas at the end of negotiations here, Ephron has acquiesced to Abraham's demands reluctantly but agreeably, willing to sell him the land for 400 pieces of silver. We're looking here at the exegesis continuing here, verses 16 through 20. We left off verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. You have the wow conjunction, followed through your adverb, afterwards, akare, A-C-H-E-R-A-Y. Thus, and after this, afterwards, literally, thus, you have the adverb ken, K-E-N. He buried, our verb to bury here is Cal Perfect Third Masculine Singular, Kabar, Q-A-B-A-R. Abraham doing the burying. Whom he buried was Sarah, his wife. Sign of direct object, proper noun, Sarah. His wife is the common feminine singular constructed third masculine singular suffix, Ishashah, I-S-H-S-H-A-H. At the cave of the field of Machpelah. Preposition L, E-L. Follow with our noun for cave, common feminine singular construct, Me-ara, M-E-A-R-A-H. Field is your common masculine singular construct noun, Shadeh, S-H-A-D-E-H. Machpelah, with the definite article transliterated. Facing Mamre, literally you have the preposition all, A-L. With the noun common both plural construct, our noun for faith, face is Paneh, P-A-N-E-H, from the face of literally memory, transliterated. That is Hebron is the pronoun he, third masculine singular, H-I-Y. Follow our name Hebron in the land of Canaan. Preposition bet, or noun for land, common feminine singular construct, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, Canaan, verse 20. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. While consecutive, follow with the verb, cal, imperfect third masculine singular, cum, literally to stand, Q-U-M. He deeded the field. Definite article, Shadev, repeated, common master singer, absolute. And the cave, vowel conjunction, definite article, Me'ara, repeated, common feminine singer, absolute. Which was in it, relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R. In it is a preposition bet, the third masculine singular suffix. To Abraham, preposition lamed, follow with our noun, Abraham, proper noun. And then we have our word for possession, acquisition. You have the preposition lamed, follow with the common feminine singular construct, akuza, A-C-H-U-Z-Z-A-H, for a possession of literally a burial site. Again, this word is omitted in the English for whatever reason, even though it's understood, if you will. Our noun for burial site, the common masculine singular absolute, keber, kever, Q-E-B-E-R. Preposition men, sign of direct object, from the sons of Heth, our noun for sons, common masculine plural construct, ben, B-E-N, Heth, transliterated in the paragraph Sela in the Hebrew text. All right, rereading here these five verses, verses 16 through 20. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, passing over for trading or commercial standard, a commercial business deal. Verse 17, so Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field, denoting his property rights, that were within all the confines of his border, his perimeter, were deeded over, at verse 18, to Abraham for a possession, for a purchase, in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in to gate his city. Verse 19, and after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field at Machpelah, based in Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Verse 20, so the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over or made for possession, if you will, to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. So the analysis of verses 16 through 20. One, the respect that Abraham held in the eyes of the sons of Heth was of the highest order. This is obviously made evident in regards to their action with him, their dealings with him, in offering to simply give him the property in view. Two, his reputation preceded him. To have a good reputation is essential, especially in dealing with others, and it obviously often determines how one may deal with another. It opens doors in certain areas of life that otherwise it may not. Things of this nature. We all understand that our name, which represents our reputation, should be of highest standards. Today, people really don't care much about these things, it doesn't seem like. You can see by the very names that people give themselves. Z-Bone Dog or whatever. What kind of reputation is that? I don't know if there's a rapper named that or what. But he's a bonehead, that's for sure, whoever it is. Now, there's your reputation. Now, Abraham had a reputation. And his reputation was not only economic, political, but it is spiritual. His witness had great impact on those around him in his sojourning through the land of Canaan. We're not obviously, it's not recorded for us all that the opportunities he had in regards to functioning as a prophet. He was a prophet. I mean, he communicated God's plan to others around him, not only to his family, but as opportunity in evangelizing and things of this nature. And obviously, he has just made an application that probably left most of these people with their heads scratching. We wanted to give him this land, yet he refused the grace of giving to him, and he insists on purchasing it. Well, he had his doctrinal reasons, as I have pointed out to us. And that is because he puts the promises of the covenant of God giving him the land to supersede and not allowing anybody else to usurp God's grace to him in this respect. That God will bless him with this land in any aspect in regards to being gifted to him under grace in that respect. And he doesn't explain himself. He doesn't have to. He has his doctrinal motivation, his doctrinal reasons. It's up to the sons of Heth to figure it out. If there's anybody interested enough to dive in and try to figure out why Abraham would not accept this property from them as a gift. Obviously, there's a man there, if you will, understanding of the covenant promises and that God's going to give this land to him. And then to understand the level of application that Abraham obviously is seeking to apply in this vein. So sometimes a witness can come about in a solid form and simply through actions. And it doesn't always need explanation. If people are interested, they'll dig in, they'll figure it out. This whole idea, again, in evangelizing and getting people to do truth and things of this nature, that it always demands a complete and full explanation in regards to things. No, it doesn't. All you got to do is keep your nose at the grindstone, let doctrine be the motivation and directing factor in regards to your applications. And the impact that it has upon those, if there's any that are positive to that degree, they'll obviously be inquisitive themselves. And they'll be that seeker that God obviously is looking for in regards to positive volition to the truth of Bible doctrine. A lot of us getting on to doctrine, we simply had questions that might have been answered or other aspects of life. But when it came down to it, the bottom line was whether or not one was desirous enough to know all these things, that they would be willing to sacrifice whatever was in life to attach themselves to an adjusted local church that sound doctrine is being taught. See? So, again, is the subtleties in regards to these verses shows a lot in regards to interacting with others, witness of the life, and things of this nature. Again, the covenant made this situation unique for Abraham, but yet it did not deter the doctrinal importance attached to it and why Abraham did what he did. So three, Abraham listened to Ephron as to the value of the property, and he laid out the silver shekels as stipulated. For we assume that Ephron's asking price was what he would have sold it to any prospective buyer via the phrase commercial standard, literally passing over for trading, Alar Lamed HaShakar. It's what it had been valued at, the value to him in regards to the property. And that says what he was willing to give up too. Again, both these men were well off, but that doesn't mean that it's still not a sacrifice to a certain degree in regards to what he offered to Abraham otherwise. So we assume that Ephron's asking price was what he would have sold it to any prospective buyer. Five, in other words, he read Abraham's intentions to acquire the parcel above board, and did not seek to shape the value to undermine Abraham's offer in any way. He could have come in, all right, $10.
Sure.
Now, he gave him an honest value in regards to the property. If he was going to sell it, and what the value was to him to somebody else, this is the price he would ask. See. And so, again, we see his approach back to Abraham. He reads Abraham. And Abraham, this is my final offer, man. I will only purchase this land. And he doesn't try to outdo Abraham. He doesn't have that type of SCA trend. Some people always got to try to outdo somebody else. No, he humbles himself in this respect. While we may look at his offering a gift of gifting the land as being humble, but he shows further humility. And that is he doesn't try to undermine Abraham otherwise, even though he may not understand clearly why Abraham is doing what he's doing. But that goes along with having a reputation spiritually, doctrinally, as we would say, of others around you that would be privy to your doctrinal standing, see, and know you, and have known you over a period of time. People recognize, okay, the reason why they're doing this is probably based on doctrine, knowing this person. Knowing Abraham, this has got to be something to do with his God and the directives he's been given by God or whatever. But they got to come to grips, they got to figure it out for themselves. So six, now the New American Standard phrase, which he had named, is literally, in the Hebrew, of which he had spoken. Asher davar, indicating the 400 shekels referred to in verse 15. Which he had named in the hearings of the sons of Heth, which he had spoken. And that reference, the 400 shekels. So seven, the phrase, in the hearings of the sons of Heth, ben Ozan, ben Keth, is the author's reminder of the numerous witnesses to the transaction. Again, part of the key in seeing the real gems of what's embedded in these verses is a consistent reference to the sons of Heth, the land. See, sons of Heth and the land, trying to give Abraham the land, the sons of Heth. No, God will give him the land. And the land ultimately belongs to God to begin with, see, in this respect. So, eight, that reminder is reiterated then in verse 18 to include not only the council of leaders attending, but having the witnesses of, quote, all who went in at the gate of the city, Kobo Sha'ir, indicating city merchants overall. Main avenue, marketplace, for villages at the time would be centered around the main gate or entrance into the city. And those who may not live within the city proper still would come in and conduct business otherwise at this particular location. And obviously it was during a period of time in which business transaction was at its normal high and people came in, became privy to the situation and became witnesses in regards to the transaction that took place here with Abraham. Nine, it was a very public event. Ten, there was be no question that Abraham indeed purchased the real estate honorably. Again, we have in the New American Standard for Possession, Lamed here, Mekena, in verse 18. Translated for a possession is for a purchase. The real estate honorably. Now God was with Abraham in all that he did. In all things, he blessed me. He tended just to grease his skids. Obviously, when he failed under his FCA, he had his divine discipline, his share of it, in whatever manner that God so chose to direct towards him. But otherwise, God greases kids. And here, he ensured that there was ample witnesses, more than enough, if you will, to throughout the land there would be no question that Abraham purchased this property. It was now his. Verse 17, then provides a general legal description of the parcel. That is, Ephron's field in Machpelah, adjacent to Mamre, is understood. To include, continue the quote, the field and cave in it, and all trees within its property lines. So all trees within its property lines, looks at his property rights of acquisition, that he can use the timber, that was there, etc. Is now, this becomes his possession too. All that is attached to it, and it included not only terra firma, the land, for whatever he may want to use that for, but also the cave and the trees. 12, now the parcel, quote, deed, end quote, changed hands. At this point in time, Ephron was the seller, Abraham the buyer. a legitimate business transaction. So 13, upon concluding the transaction, Abraham returned to retrieve Sarah's body and buried his wife in the cave of the aforementioned property. That's verse 19. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, face of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Fourteen, in this would also be buried her husband, Abraham, son, Isaac, grandson, and their wives, Jacob, etc. 15, in other words, the principles of the first three generations are the ones that sojourned in the land of promise, Canaan. Confer Genesis 49:29-32. So the property became instrumental, being burial plots for the early patriarchs before they became enslaved in Egypt under the Exodus and conquest going into the land. Genesis 49:29-32. Then he charged them and said to them, "I am about to be gathered to my people, Jacob. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite." His father and grandfather, predecessors. "In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah," same description, "which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought along with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. There I buried Leah," Jacob did. "The field and the cave that is in it, purchased from the sons of Heth." When Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. The purpose of the burial site to such extent was understood by our author that recaps in general the acquisition then in verse 20. Verse 20 implies that Abraham's motives were to secure a permanent resting place, not only for his present need, but with the thought of the family's future needs. It was to be a legal acquisition that could be handed down to future posterity as inheritance, utilizing here the possession, quote, in quote, possession, end quote, noun, accusa, New American Standard, simply translated, deeded over, combining together the aspects of purchase, etc. Harking back to Abraham's initial desire back in verses 4 and 9. 19, Abraham's action, providing the final resting place for the remains of the patriarchs and their wives, denotes solidarity of family and faith. That all mentioned went on to phase 2 postulation as being part of the chain of early patriarchs. Hebrew lineage, faith in the covenant. 20, in their lifetime, they enjoyed only partial fulfillment of the promises of the covenant made with Abraham. None of these got to call the land, if you will, their nation, to be citizens, if you will, in regards to the territory. 21, these all died in faith, looking to the fulfillment. They all died in faith, looking to the fulfillment. The promise was not to come until after they're dead and gone, and they will be resurrected. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was received for inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. 9, by faith, it's active faith. In the passive faith of Bible doctrine that God spoke to him. By faith, Abraham, by faith, verse 9, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. A nomadic lifestyle, temporary lifestyle, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he is looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The reason why they were able to conduct themselves at such high levels is because they had their eyes on God's promises in regards to their SG3 package. Attached to all that God would bless them in time with, otherwise all this via the covenant promises. See, the eternal aspect. And that obviously looks forward all the way to the New Jerusalem. That goes by looking at the fact that literally they'll live in the land in resurrection bodies from the second advent during the millennial period. See, it transcends all the way to the eternal state. And it just shows you where they place their faith, that is in God, in heaven, see, in regards to fulfilling His word, fulfilling His promises, and blessing them in such a way. Most people, it's all about getting it here and now, see. For the positive, just believer, it's looking ahead, recognizing that God will fulfill His word, both in time as well as in eternity. Eleven, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. God tested him in a big way. But yet he did things in life to show that he was still blessing him. He's still with him. God may bless you, and then he may test you. In regards to the blessing, maybe it's just to see what you're going to do with doctrine after the fact. Who knows? He has his reasons and his purposes. He's not making any mistakes. They believed. They had faith, active faith. Therefore, also there was born of one man, verse 12, and him as good as dead at that, Abraham. Both Abraham and Sarah, again, underwent sexual death. And God had to rejuvenate their sexual organs and abilities in order to have Isaac. As good as dead at that, as many descendants as stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as sand which is by the seashore. 13, all these died in faith. That's active faith. Glorifying God, believing in the promises that God would fulfill on their behalf. Another example of Abraham is under the doctrine of resurrection and in his test with Isaac in the sacrifice. See. These are aspects of faith in Bible doctrine that sometimes we probably sit around and go, I wonder if I have that kind of faith. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. It did not do anything to deter them
from believing that God was going to do what God said He was going to do. But it's going to be at God's timing, not ours, not theirs, at God's timing. And it's our responsibility to wait upon God. And having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Don't be surprised when the cosmos craps on you. That's the cosmos. See? Keep your eyes on God. He won't. He'll fulfill His promises. For those who say such things, verse 14, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Well, his priority then is God's blessing. God giving the land. God making provision. All this that we just went through in regards to Abraham and why he wouldn't accept it from the Hittites, the sons of Ed. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. The trouble is, in regards to our SCA, when things don't happen according to our schedule, often our SCA says, bolt, run, go back to where it is at. You can find your answer somewhere else. Find it from before. How often did Exodus do that? Go back where the food's good. At least we had food to eat all the time. And forget about all the pain and suffering they underwent under the whip of the Egyptian. And I guarantee you, it wasn't any caning of Filipinos or anything of that nature. It hurt. But that's the malcontentment that the SCA constantly will try to drive into one's thinking to get them to get a person, a believer, otherwise adjusted, to go under energy of the flesh rather than continue to wait upon God. But as it is, verse 16, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God is not embarrassed to call us His friend when we wait upon Him and place our faith in His person. He has no shame in spite of our STA. See? But He will show His hand that He's behind it. When God blesses us with things, it's just obvious. 22, Mamre itself held a special place in the life of Abraham and Sarah. Where Yahweh incarnate, pre-incarnate Yahweh, if you will, Messiah, appeared, set up altar, conducted sacrifices, things of this nature. Is a special place. And you can have things that obviously you identify with God's interaction with you. Like I identify God's interaction with me on the beach. Okay, no smiles there, all right. You need to go to the beach more often. Great commune with God. I was sure glad to get out of there when I did. Anyway, 23, here she was promised a son in her hopeless state in regards to Sarah at Mamre. 24, with great determination, Abraham owned a tiny portion of the promised land. He had to stick to his guns, see, as part of living the Christian life. You've got to stick to your guns. You've got to persevere, as the old Indian, I like that line. We persevered, see, to hang in there with it. So, you can't let other people or your SCA shake you. God God shows you He can bless you in time at His whim, when He's ready. Otherwise, you can expect testing to go along with it. It's just part of the Christian life. And the idea is to hang in there and not abandon God's will for your life otherwise. Abraham didn't ever abandon God's geographical will for his life, whatever other weaknesses he may have had. 25, demonstrating his love and devotion for his wife, Abraham, our term Isheshah, he buried her in a place that resonated with special memories for the two of them. Just a special blessing, if you will, in that regards. 26, the Hittites bless Abraham and open the door for blessing upon that particular generation. God will bless those who bless Him. He will curse those who curse you. That was part of the covenant promises. The Hittites, in this particular situation, which is an anomaly for them in regards to the history post-Abraham, opened the doors for blessing otherwise for them and their generation of how they dealt with Abraham. And it just goes to show how volition can change over time of nations and peoples. You have one generation that comes up and they're just as positive as they can be, oriented to God's plan as they can be. Another generation comes up and just be negative and rebellious. Back and forth. See. The Hebrew people themselves resonate in this, even though most of the time they were basically rebellious. But the exodus and conquest is in my thinking. And so it can be in regards to our own lives, our family's lives, you know, and things of that nature. Just because a parent's positive doesn't mean that the child's going to end up being positive. And vice versa. Parents can be negative idiots, and the child can turn out to be the most positive person walking around at the time. You never know. And again, it just kind of... very amusing to me how Moses is writing this down, going, the Hittites, the sons of Heth. Man, that's a whole different picture of what he is seeing. See. 27, in this fashion, in death, Abraham honored Sarah. How did he honor her? By applying Bible doctrine at an extremely, extremely high level. See. In memorial in regard to her positive volition. To carry on in regards to God's plan for his life. All right, well, I'm going to let you go a little early. We can start off with a new chapter, 24, Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light and see these things. In Jesus' name, amen.